The book of 2 Kings, today we are in chapter 13. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, in the 23rd year of Joash, son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 17 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord by following the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. And he did not turn away from them. And the fact that he did not turn away from his sin is a bad sign. Everybody sins. Even godly people sin sometimes. But saved people do not stay in their sin. They repent. They confess. He did not. 3. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and for a long time he kept them under the power of Hazael, king of Aram, and Ben-Hadad, his son. And so the Syrians, you know, they were not any better than the Israelites. But the Israelites were God's people. And the Bible says that God disciplines his people. And here he used the Syrians as his paddle. 4. Then Jehoahaz sought the Lord's favor. And the Lord listened to him, for he saw how severely the king of Aram was oppressing Israel. God had pity on the king of the north and that country. The king and the people, they must have really been suffering bad if it resulted in them asking God for help, because they weren't followers of God at all at this point. Verse 5. The Lord provided a deliverer for Israel, and they escaped from the power of Aram. And so the Israelites lived in their own homes as they had before. Jehoahaz did not deserve God's help. But when he cried out to God, God raised up some leaders from among Israel, and they rescued the people from Syria. And they had it pretty nice there for a while. But notice verse 6. But they did not turn away from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, which he had caused Israel to commit. They continued in them. Also, the Asherah pole remained standing in Samaria. So they didn't repent. Israel did not repent. They cried out to God for help when they were in trouble, and he helped. But they will soon be in trouble again if they do not change their ways. God's mercy is his way of reaching out to lost sinners, try to get them to repent. But if they continue on, you know, eventually his mercy runs out. Notice verse 7. Nothing had been left of the army of Jehoahaz except 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Aram had destroyed the rest and made them like the dust at threshing time. Israel's army was just about wiped out, and would have been wiped out if the king had not cried to God for help out of desperation, and if God had not graciously helped them. Verse 8. As for the other events of the reign of Jehoahaz, all he did and his achievements, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Jehoahaz rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Jehoash, his son, succeeded him as king. Samaria was the capital of the north, which is why Jehoahaz was buried there, being the king. Now I'm not going to read verses 10 through 13, talking about King Jehoash. Basically just says he was a bad person and a bad king, like the rest of the kings up north in Israel. Skip down to verse 14. And Elisha was suffering from the illness. Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. And Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Now Jehoash did not serve God himself, but he liked having God's prophet Elisha around. He was smart enough, I guess, to realize that Elisha's connection to God was probably the only reason that his country had any strength at all. It was his godly influence with God, and his influence with God, period, that kept Israel from being totally destroyed, along with the promise of God. 15. Elisha said, "Get a bow and some arrows." And he did so. "Take the bow in your hands," he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here. The bow in the hands of the king and the prophet's hands on his hands was a sign that God would bless Israel in battle. And the king and Elisha are both well aware of what this symbolism is all about. Notice verse 17. "Open the east window," he said, and he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." God uses symbolism an awful lot in the scripture. And we shouldn't just dismiss it as meaningless, you know, symbolism, meaningless show that doesn't have any actual effect on our lives. Because it does. God uses symbolism to accomplish His will on earth. It is like a connection between the divine and the material universe. It's not just for show. If the king does not obey and shoot the arrow out the window like the prophet said, God would not have promised victory either. And He did promise victory. And notice verse 18 though. Then He said, "Take the arrow," and the king took them. And Elisha told him, "Strike the ground." And he struck it 3 times and stopped. Hitting the ground with the arrows represented victories over Syria. Notice 19. The man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. Israel will defeat Syria 3 times, says the prophet. If the king had continued to strike the ground, if he had continued to strike the arrows on the ground, Syria would have been totally defeated. Now the king must have understood the symbolism here, or the prophet would not have gotten angry at him for only hitting the ground 3 times. God doesn't work that way. But this is why I said symbolism is more than just a show to God. You see how important it is. Verse 20. Elisha died and was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. And when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Notice how God uses the dead body of Elisha to do a miracle. Kind of tells you how much He needs us, doesn't it? God chooses to do things through us sometimes, but He certainly doesn't need us. He doesn't need our help. Remember, Elisha had a request to his predecessor, Elijah. Elijah was about to leave the earth. And Elisha, who was his assistant at that time, His request was that he would have a double portion of the Holy Spirit that Elijah had. Now, he did not quite make it in his life. But with this miracle, God did cause him to make it. With this miracle that God did through the bones of Elisha, he did make it. Because God needed to do this miracle to exactly double the number of miracles done by his predecessor Elisha. And so, God granted him his request. And I believe his predecessor, Elijah, did 7 miracles, if I remember my studies right from years ago. And Elisha, with this one, he did 14. Just exactly what he requested of God. And God came through. 22. Hazael, king of Aram, oppressed Israel throughout the reign of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To this day he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. God always keeps his word. It must be difficult for him at times, I would think. Not that it's hard for him to do, but boy, they sure deserve to be destroyed. But God always keeps his word. That's the only reason the northern kingdom wasn't totally destroyed and all the people killed, because they had it coming. I'll guarantee it. But years earlier, God had made a promise of mercy to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob concerning their offspring, which was Israel. And that's why he did not destroy them, because he remembers to keep his word. 24. Hazael, king of Aram, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, succeeded him as king. Then Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns he had taken in battle from his father Jehoahaz. 3 times Jehoash defeated him, and so he recovered the Israelite towns. And this is just an amazing fulfillment of the word of God once again. God had said through Elisha the prophet before he died, remember? 3 times he hit the ground with your arrows, 3 times he will defeat Syria. And that's exactly what happened, again, just as God said. Chapter 14 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.